You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 10th of November 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, I got up this morning, and it appears that Mark Collette has had his Twitter account removed with no warning, no flagged tweets or anything like that. It reminds me of when the Radio Aryan Twitter account was taken down. We also had no flagged tweets, no warnings. We even had our account so that we could actually verify the people that were looking at our announcements as well. We'd actually locked the account so that only our followers could actually read our tweets. And all our tweets were just announcements, basically, that we had a podcast coming out and our Twitter account was just removed. Before it was actually removed, it had been stuck at 2,600 followers for the last 18 months. Regardless of people that actually signed up to follow, the numbers just wouldn't change. And the reason why our Twitter account was removed is because the Times did an article on Radio Aryan where they cast lots of false aspersions and allegations, called us lots of nasty names, said that we had YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, which was not true at all. We've never had a YouTube account. We've never posted on YouTube. We've never had a Facebook account. We've never posted on Facebook. We did have a Twitter account, though, and it was just used for announcements. It was never used to argue with politicians or argue with journalists or anything like that. Just used to announce to our followers that we had a new podcast that was produced, that was just been published and was available for them to download. And because this journalist went to Twitter, and I don't know what he said to Twitter, but Twitter just banned us without sending out an email, without giving a reason. They just banned us. And it looks like the same thing's happened to Mark. I don't think he had any of his tweets flagged. And you've got a different situation with Mark. You've got somebody that's actually had television documentaries made about him. One of those television documentaries won a BAFTA award. So you've got a BAFTA award-winning TV minor celebrity there, and they've just removed his account. So there is public interest there. And one of the problems with this is journalists then try to get in touch with people like Mark, and how can they get in touch with them if their Twitter account has been removed? And the other thing that this brings up is, what about the guidelines? Twitter has guidelines, and people that use Twitter, like Mark, don't break the guidelines, and yet they still get their accounts removed. And as they pointed out in the Patriotic Alternative newsletter about this, in an age where we're all supposed to be staying in at home and we've got these lockdowns, we're not supposed to be socializing, it's all the more important that people have social media accounts and are able to communicate with other people, other like-minded people. It's very irresponsible of Twitter to be removing people at a time like this. You would think that if they had any morals at all, that they would say, well, we're not going to ban anyone from social media for while people are actually in lockdown, because that could have a very negative effect on certain people. If you've got people that are depressed and they lose their social media account, it could be enough to send them over the edge. Obviously, Mark is not like that. But the fact is, he hadn't broken any of the rules on there. And yet he was removed anyway. And what does this tell us? It tells us that they don't obey their own rules, doesn't it? It tells us that the social media accounts, you just think they can do whatever they like. I mean, just look what they're doing to the president of the United States at the moment. Censoring his tweets, preventing his 88 million followers from actually being able to hear what the man says. Mark has a Telegram account, and I'm sure more people will sign up to that. And it'd be fairly easy for him to set up another Twitter account under a different name with a different email. I mean, what this really is Twitter saying, we don't like you. Even though you haven't broken any of our rules, you haven't broken any of our terms of service, we don't like you, and we're just going to remove you from our service anyway. I mean, surely that is discrimination. That's just discrimination against somebody. We just don't like you, so we're going to remove you from the account. Surely that can't be legal, to just discriminate against people like that. I mean, you're supposed to treat everybody equally, just treat everybody fairly. If people are obeying the law, or if people are obeying the guidelines on Twitter, then they shouldn't be able to just remove people's accounts like that. I'm sure he has an account on Gab. But the other side of this is, when you remove alternative voices from Twitter, you just end up with the left wing on there. You just end up with communists on there. You end up with an echo chamber on there. And that gives a false impression of what the world is like to the people that are on there. It means that they never have their views challenged. So when they do get into a debate with someone who is a nationalist, they're obviously going to fail because they have no idea what the nationalist arguments are, because they're not used to interacting with them. I mean, we shouldn't be dividing people in society like this. We should be allowing all different viewpoints to interact with one another and debate with one another. And so long as it remains civil and it's civil discourse, then that can only be a net positive. When you cut a certain portion of the population out of the debate, that is just asking for trouble, isn't it? You know, when you silence somebody and you take away their voice, the only way that they have got then left to them to make themselves heard is with their fists. That, what else can you do if you've been silenced but act up? I'm not suggesting people should act up when this happens, but that's going to be the end result of it, isn't it? If you prevent people from talking, if they're not breaking the guidelines. And this brings me to another subject today, and again, it concerns Patriotic Alternative. They have been leafleting over the last month. People have been going out leafleting. They've been doing so very responsibly. They've been wearing masks. They've been wearing gloves. They haven't been touching the doors even of the houses they've been posting the leaflets through. They've been following all the COVID regulations, as you should do. The leaflets they've been posted out are very, very carefully worded. There's no racial slurs on there. There's no hostile intent on there. It's just information, basically. And somebody was out leafleting in the southeast, I think it was Burgess Hill, yesterday or the day before, and they were posting through anti-immigration leaflets. And what is an anti-immigration leaflet? It's anti a government policy. It's criticizing a government policy. So these leaflets, they point out the most up-to-date information and projections on demographics in Britain over the next 40 years. And it shows that within 40 years, the indigenous British people are going to be a minority in their own country. And this has been headline news in four different newspapers, where, of course, they think this is a wonderful thing. Isn't this great? The indigenous British are going to be a minority. But most of the general public aren't actually aware of that. And when Patriotic Alternative did their survey, they discovered that the majority of people were unaware of this. And I think it was 60%, over 60%, were not happy about this. They didn't want to be a minority. So a study has been done to find out what the general public's opinion is on this. And that is that they don't want to be a minority. Have we got any representation in politics that is actually speaking up about this, that is speaking up for that two-thirds of the British population They don't want to be a minority. Well, no, we don't have anybody in politics that is speaking up for us. All we have is Patriotic Alternative, who are not a political party, but a community of like-minded individuals trying to build a positive community of the Indigenous British people to preserve our heritage and to lobby to prevent us from becoming a minority in our own country. There is nothing illegal in that. And these leaflets are very carefully worded, and they are critical of this government policy. They're not critical of the immigrants themselves. They're critical of the government policy and what the government policy has led to. And we now have the police in the southeast releasing a photograph of the person that was delivering these leaflets. And they've said that they want to talk to whoever it is, and that these leaflets are, quote, racially worded. What do they mean by racially worded? Words that describe race. It does talk about race in the leaflets, but that's not illegal to talk about race, surely. I don't believe that there is any government legislation that mentions racially worded. There's nothing, I can't see that there's anything illegal in that leaflet. And if you look at the, actual wording of these laws, it's all about, are they showing a hostile intent? Are they showing a hostile intent to protect groups with protected characteristics? And that leaflet is not showing a hostile intent to immigrants. You would imagine that immigrants that are already here would have the same fears as the Indigenous British people. The things that are listed on the leaflet are things like having queues to get into the hospital, having waiting lists to get into the hospital, having classroom sizes that are far too high, having an increase of crime in the inner cities. These are all things that you would imagine immigrants themselves, the newcomers that have come to our country, you would imagine that they would be concerned about these things just as much as the Indigenous British. And we do see this in America. We see that the African Americans are concerned, or a certain portion of them are concerned about the immigration from south of the border. They're concerned about the South Americans coming into America because they know that it will keep the wages low. It will mean that the schools are crowded. It will just mean all the same problems that I have listed. And that's the only problems that are listed on this leaflet. There is no way that somebody who is from an ethnic minority should impute any hostile intent to that leaflet. And in actual fact, there are ethnic minorities that have signed up to support Patriotic Alternative because they support what we are doing with Patriotic Alternative. And they don't want to see the Indigenous British people become a minority. I mean, why would you want to see any Indigenous group of people become a minority in their homeland? I mean, that's a horrible thing to want, to replace a group of people, to replace over 50% of a group of people with another group of people. That is the UN definition of genocide, is to be doing that. It doesn't have to be a violent genocide of killing all these people, but just replacing them is a genocide. That's what's being warned about in these leaflets. And you would imagine that sensible immigrants would support that. So why are the police wanting to talk to this lad that was posting these leaflets? I would suggest that what they're trying to do is intimidate people to prevent them from posting out these leaflets. But yet, as I pointed out, 60% of the country have similar concerns. They have concerns that they don't want to be a minority, and there's nobody that's speaking up for them. So where is the illegality in posting out these leaflets? I can't see that there is any illegality. And it looks to me as if the police are doing the same sort of thing that Hope Not Hate do, and trying to dox somebody, trying to put their image up there to intimidate them, to prevent them from exercising their right to free speech. I mean, we have a right to free speech. We have a right to free association, or we are told that we do, and we have a right to organize politically, or at least we are told that we do. And yet what we have here is that right being infringed upon. This person that was posting those leaflets, he's now been identified by the police. They're looking for him as if he's a criminal, and yet they haven't been able to point out any crime that he is supposedly being accused of. All they can come up with is racially worded. I really just don't understand how racially worded can have anything to do with the law. And you can look in biology, you can look in psychology, you can look in sociology, and you will find lots of things to do with race. You will find that even in the groups of protected characteristics that we have in Britain, you will find references to race. I mean, what is black and minority ethnic, if not a racially worded term? It's specifically talking about race. So how can they be so concerned about these leaflets? I mean, maybe it would be worth looking at accusing the police of infringing on this person's civil rights for identifying them and making them out to be a criminal. Because if the police are concerned, if they're looking for somebody, then that implies that this person is a criminal in some way. They've broken the law in some way. And yet it doesn't look to me as if this person that's posting the leaflets, as if they've broken the law. And those leaflets are very, very carefully worded. They're very carefully worded so that they cannot be accused of any hostile intent or any racial slur words or anything like that. I mean, as nationalists, you know, we look at the law and we try to keep within the law. The same as I was saying with Twitter, people look at the guidelines for Twitter and they try to keep within the guidelines. And even when they keep within the guidelines, Twitter bans them. And even when Patriotic Alternative keep within the law, when they make these leaflets up and people post them out, and yet even then, now we see the police are actually looking for this person. Are the police bending the law the same as Twitter is just bending the rules? Are the police targeting nationalists that are trying to stay within the law just because they're nationalists, just because they don't like them? I mean, what a horrible thing to think of. We're supposed to be equal under the law. We're supposed to be able to rely upon the police to protect us and to investigate crimes. The police aren't supposed to be used to intimidate people to have different political views. I mean, nationalism goes beyond political views. I mean, this is an existential situation that the indigenous British people are facing. If they could be a minority in 40 years with the current estimates, then they're facing an existential threat. So it's beyond politics. It's more than politics. As I said, the Patriotic Alternative are not a political party. Hopefully, one day they will be a political party. The Electoral Commission keeps putting a spanner in the works. But even when they do become a political party, it won't be with the aim of taking control of the government. It will be because there are certain rights that come with being a political party, certain rights and protections that would hopefully prevent Patriotic Alternative from being deplatformed or having their banking abilities taken away. I mean, that is a disgusting thing that Mark Collette and Laura Towler both had their banking facilities taken away. I mean, that is an essential part of being human, is to make business transactions. And this is something that we haven't just seen in Britain. We've seen it in Sweden. We've seen it in America. This is now a tactic of, and I can only describe them as our enemies if they're going to be doing things like this to us, removing bank accounts. And you would imagine that the police would be separate to this. The police are supposed to be non-political. They're not supposed to be politically biased in any way. And though the threat we are facing goes beyond politics, politics is a part of it. If you were to describe nationalism or to say you were a nationalist, people would assume that the majority of that is to do with politics. And that is your political persuasion, is that you support nationalist policies rather than globalist policies. And a nationalist policy is to preserve the nation. Is that now against the law to want to preserve your nation? And why is it that it only applies to white people? Would there be a call to identify somebody that was posting Black Lives Matter leaflets through people's homes? We've even seen schools teaching children about Black Lives Matter, even though we were told just the other week in the Houses of Parliament that that is completely against the law to be teaching Black Lives Matter without providing a context for it. And I would suggest that the context for it, if you're going to start teaching about Black Lives Matter, then you've also got to teach the other side of the equation. You've got to teach what the nationalist solution to this problem is. Black Lives Matter claim that the problem is racism. It's black people being treated differently to white people, black people being oppressed by white people. And the nationalist solution to the problem is to say, okay, let's separate, and then you will not be oppressed anymore by white people, will you? And then the white people that find it difficult to live alongside blacks and ethnic minorities, their lives will be improved as well. Why don't we separate? That's the other side of the equation. The Black Lives Matter solution is to take away from white people and give it to black people, to replace white people with black people. That's not going to solve the problem, is it? The problem is still going to be there. You are still going to have friction between the two communities because the two communities are completely different. We are completely different peoples. We have different histories. We have different physiologies. We have different characters. You only have to look at the statistics for the different groups to see that they have they're just different. And when you have two different groups and you put them together, that's just a recipe for friction. In some areas, blacks are going to do better than whites. Things like running, things like sport, especially short distance running. In things like high-powered jobs, white people are going to be doing better than blacks because whites, on average, have a higher IQ. So you are going to get these differences between the peoples because we are not equal. And if you tell people that they are equal, and then they discover that they're not equal, the only option they have is to then blame the other group for cheating somehow. And that's essentially this accusation of racism. It's claiming that white people are somehow cheating and they're keeping the black man down. And that's the reason why we haven't got black neuroscientists and black nuclear physicists is because the white man is keeping the black man down. It's not. It's because the black man is different. And he would be far better off among his own people, separate from the white man. And then there would be no more racism. You wouldn't be able to blame white people for any of the problems. And white people wouldn't be able to blame black people for any of their problems. And these leaflets that are posted out, they don't blame ethnic minorities. They are critical of government policy. They're critical of the government policy of immigration. Particularly this replacement level immigration, which is what we have going on. And of course, the left-wing media will say, the great replacement, that is a conspiracy theory. Well, replacement migration is the exact term that the United Nations use for this migration. They have a whole page dedicated to replacement migration. That is the term that it is called. Because they say that the people in the West, the Europeans, they're not producing enough children to replace themselves. So we have to bring in groups of people from the areas of the world where they are reproducing far too fast, and we need to use them to replace the white people that aren't reproducing enough for themselves. Of course, that is no solution, is it? That means replacing one group of people with another group of people. And Hungary can see that, at least Viktor Orban can see that, and he has said we're not going to have this replacement migration, we are going to encourage Hungarians to reproduce. And that is what we should be doing in Britain. We should be encouraging the indigenous British people to reproduce. We should be doing all we can to preserve what heritage there is of the British people. And our establishment and the authorities are not doing that. They're doing the opposite of that. They're trying to insert ethnic minorities into our history where they never were before. But it's not just happening in the media. It's not just happening with famous white historical persons being played by black actors and actresses. It's going on in our history. It's going on in our history lessons. Children are being taught in school that there were black Africans among the Romans when the Romans were here 2,000 years ago, which is totally false. North Africa was peopled by white people at that time, and it had been for 1,000 years by that time. The Vandals were in North Africa. But these lies are now being taught to our children, and our government should be there to prevent this from happening. Our government should be preserving the heritage of the British people. And the newcomers should have no say in the way that history is taught further back than 70 years. They could debate the way that the past 70 years worth of history is being taught, because that's how long they have been here for. They've been here for 70 years. But if you go back any further than that, then they have no right to tell us what our history should be before then. If they want to talk about the history in their own countries, they're free to do that, but that should have no bearing whatsoever on the history of Britain and the way that the history of Britain is taught. The government should be saying to English Heritage and the National Trust and these groups that have been tasked with preserving our heritage, preserving our inheritance, they should be saying to them, if you start recontextualizing our history to include histories of these other peoples, then you're going to lose the government funding, because you're going directly against what the whole reason for your being is, which is to preserve our heritage. Black people have their own advocacy groups that can preserve their heritage. Where are the white advocacy groups that are preserving our heritage? We don't have any. All we have is nationalist organisations like Patriotic Alternative that are doing their best for the Indigenous Britons. And as I pointed out earlier, 60% of the country don't want to become a minority. That 60% of the country are looking for people that are going to represent them and that are going to advocate for their interests. And how are they going to find out that there is this group that advocates for the Indigenous Britons if we can't post leaflets out? If the head of the Patriotic Alternative, if he has his social media accounts taken away from him? I mean, this is political suppression. This is the sort of suppression that we haven't seen since the days of the USSR, where they would suppress anything that was against communism. This is so similar to the dictatorships of the early part of last century. It's just incredible that our governments would go along with this. You know, I was always taught that we honoured free speech in this country, and we honoured plurality, and they still talk about it, don't they, when they talk about diversity and a plurality of opinions, but they don't. If you have an opinion that is different to the establishment line, then they want to censor you and they want to silence you. And it's all very well if there are these left-wing organizations that seek to do that. We know they seek to do that. But to actually have the law doing that, to actually have the police doing that and trying to suppress alternative opinions, and just an opinion that is coming down on the side of the white Indigenous British people, I just find that absolutely, absolutely shocking that this can be going on. And it's not going to prevent people from advocating for us. It's not going to make Mark and Laura think, oh, well, we better stop being nationalists then, because we've lost our bank account and Mark's lost his Twitter account. It just becomes more evidence to point out the way that the government is anti-British and that the police are anti-British. I mean, is this a part of the police's drive to show that they're not racist, that they're going to come down heavily on anybody that thinks well of the Indigenous British people and stands up for them? And have these police officers not thought, well, that's me that this group is standing up for? I'm white British. Do they not question how things will be if we become a minority in our own country? Can we not see what is happening in South Africa, where the white South Africans are now a minority in their own country? Do we really want Britain to look like South Africa? I don't think they do, but I don't think they ask themselves these questions. And it's probably not the Bobby on the beat that's taken this of his own initiative to do this. He's probably been told to do this by some politically correct higher up in the police force who will have been on an indoctrination course promoting diversity that won't put the other point of view across at all, and will just say that anybody that speaks up for the British people must be a nasty racist with hostile intent to ethnic minorities, which isn't true. The solutions that we put forward as nationalists are of benefit both to us and to the ethnic minorities. It's just shocking that the police could be acting like this, like the political police. I don't really know what to say about it, apart from people just be careful with the wording that you use, because they will be trying to portray hostile intent. If they can show that this lad had any hostile intent, then they will try to say that the intent in posting these leaflets was to incite racial hatred. So you just hope that he's not the sort of person that uses racial slurs or supports violence in any way or damage to property in his social media posts. And I wish the lad well, whoever it was that was doing this. And it's not going to stop people from advocating for us. It's not going to stop people posting leaflets out, because that's not illegal. That's part of our rights to do that. Until they make it illegal to advocate for the white British people, then it's well within the law for us to do that and to speak about these things and to speak about our own interests. And it's not selfish to do that, because every other group does. It's only whites that are not allowed to, and that face intimidation like this and deplatforming in order to silence our views. And the people doing it are our own people. That's the most shocking part of it. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.